from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hey, what up, H-Town? Hey, how you doing? Branham in, and Brendan in for Blankers. He's on baby duty. We got an abbreviated show, some fighting Texas Aggie basketball coming up at the bottom of the hour. The Aggies taking on Wofford, the Terriers of Wofford. So we'll have an abbreviated show. But we have 30 minutes. It's a sprint, not a marathon today, Brendan. So we got you covered.
I think the fastest sprint we've ever done on this show, right?
Yeah.
We've done hour-long shows, maybe even 45-minute shows. We've done half-hour shows.
Before you, I think we did have a 30-minute show.
By the way, we're not just going to gloss over. I think that was your first ever What Up H-Town, right?
I think it's my second, maybe again before you. How was it? Grade the What Up H-Town, 713-780-3776, our HRMP listener line.
Here's what I'll say. It made me feel better about the ones that I've done.
I thought it was pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
I think I'd give it like a 3.5.
Out of 5 or 10?
I meant out of 10, but if you want to tell yourself it's out of 5, that's okay.
So 3 out of 10, kind of like Bryce Young completion percentage at Alabama this year. I'm not getting into that topic today. I had some Twitter fights today that, little Bryce Young, Will Levis conversations. But we got till April to have those. I will say this, Brendan, something that has been kind of bothering me lately, and there are a lot of things bother me. We all know that. I'm a grumpy old man. Is the way that the fan base in Houston is looking at this Texans rebuild, because it's very much a rebuild. Like the Texans, even though Nick Caserio doesn't want to use that word, don't use that word rebuild. It is very much a rebuild, and none of us are stupid enough to realize that it's not. We understand the cupboard was bare. We understand what the roster is, the salary cap situation Bill O'Brien put the Texans in. And I'm seeing a lot of impatience from around the city. And I'll be honest, I'm maybe the most impatient person in the world. I feel like I'm the most impatient person that I know. I have ADD, which compounds to my patience problems that I do not have. But watching Texans fans react to what the Texans are doing with this rebuild, I don't really understand it. It kind of makes me confused. And I think you can look at the teams around this city, too, and use it as a prime example. Like, the Houston Rockets haven't been a true contender since they traded James Harden in 2021. And I understand that's not long ago, but we have patience with the Rockets. We have, okay, let Jalen Green mature. Let Shingun mature. Let Jabari Smith mature. We have patience with those guys. Kevin Porter Jr., if you want to throw him in that mix. We even look at the lottery, and we're looking at what's available. Wembanyama, Scoot Henderson. Okay, a couple of guys that can really help the organization. So we're patient with the Rockets. The Houston Astros had, like, one of the longest rebuilds the city has ever seen, where they went 9 straight seasons without making the playoffs. The Astros hired Jeff Luhnow in December of 2021. And then what did the – or 2011, beg your pardon, 2011. And what did they do after that? They lost 107 games. They lost 111 games. They hired Bo Porter. They lost 92 games. And then in 2015, they tasted the playoffs, missed it for a year, and then went into this golden era of Houston Astro baseball. So we were patient with – we're currently patient with the Rockets rebuild. I think we were more frustrated with the Astros rebuild. Like, people wanted the Astros to call up George Springer when they were losing 100 games. What sense does that make? I'm not sure. But the Astros frustrated everybody. I get that. But we also are on the other end of it where we've reaped the benefits of a long rebuild, of doing a rebuild right, of being patient with a rebuild. And if I were just to ask the question, if you're a Houston Texan fan, would you take 6 years of being a last place team for winning 2 championships over a 6-year period? Or let's expand it. Would you take a decade of losing football if on the other end of that decade you won 2 titles in a 6-year span? Like the Astros pretty much did. They went 9 years without being a playoff team, got back into the postseason, have won 2 titles in 6 seasons. If you're a Texan fan, would you do that? Would you go a decade of losing football, missing the playoffs, to on the other end, you win 2 titles in 6 years? And one of the things that irritates me with this, Brendan, is that, like, we're trying to fire Nick Caserio a year and a half into this rebuild, a year and a half into this 6-year contract. And I understand winning 1 game's embarrassing. I understand the coaching hires of Lovie Smith and David Culley haven't been good. I think David Culley was supposed to be the Bo Porter, and they just got too frustrated with David Culley and felt like they had to make a change. But everybody wants to be good fast. Everybody wants to be good as quick as you possibly can. And I feel a lot of times, Brendan, whenever you do this, you start making decisions to try to get good quick again that – lowers your ceiling of doing the rebuild right and being patient with it and making sure that you're doing everything right for the organization, not because you're upset that the rebuild's going really, really slow and you're trying to win like 9 games as soon as you possibly can.
It's funny, Jeremy, because I feel like me and you do this a lot. I can like hear your premise, and I think everyone says yes, right? Everybody says yes. They'll take 6 years of a rebuild for 2 years of years of a rebuild for 2 championships in 6 years. I don't think anybody is saying no to that. I just struggle with like the premise of what you're asking for, because I don't think patience is the same in football as basketball or baseball. Like I think things need to happen quick in football.
Okay, where I would like, I don't know if that's true. Like, I know that the NFL is like this league that's based on parity. I think it's difficult to rebuild in baseball, at least rebuild quick. Like, it's very difficult to rebuild quick in baseball because you're drafting players. They're going through your pipeline. A lot of times you don't see a draft pick in baseball for 3, 4, 5 years, high school kid, maybe even 6. NBA, like, even if you draft a LeBron James, like, that's like the biggest anomaly of all. But even those dudes need to develop. Like, they don't reach their prime till 3, 4, 5 years in. Same thing with the NFL. The NFL, like, it's a parity league. It's a league, as Bill O'Brien used to say, it's a league built for where everybody's going 8-8. Can't do that anymore, Bill O'Brien. But it's also a team. It's also a roster that you have to fill 53 players. And I believe in the NFL, unlike the NBA, it's not a star league. Like, yeah, star players certainly help. But I believe in a team that has great depth, a team that has really good players 1 through 53. In fact, I think the best teams in the league are teams with great depth, especially in a sport that requires a lot of players playing, the injuries, the violent nature of the game. So I understand what you're saying about how teams that are historically bad, they're supposed to be competitive. Let's use the word competitive and not playoff contending or a playoff team. They're supposed to be competitive relatively quick, and I know you have numbers on that that kind of supports your case. I also think, though, that it goes case by case, right?
Sure.
Like, every single situation is much, much different. And I think that the Houston Texans situation and their rebuild was probably as dire a situation as we've seen in a really, really long time in the NFL. Bill O'Brien, who was a pretty good head coach but was the worst general manager in NFL history, a lot of people believe, and I am one of those people that believe that as well, put the Texans in a situation where you traded future assets for the now, you made bad trade after bad trade, you didn't have much stock, right? You didn't have much talent left when Bill O'Brien left, and you also didn't have much draft capital. Like, Nick Caserio is coming off his first year of a true draft class when the previous year he only had a third rounder. Not to mention the salary cap situation, not to mention a depleted roster that just wasn't very good. So I don't think that you can use the Texans as an example as like this NFL model of rebuilding team.
But what I would say is that you get one extra year from that. So like I'm
so this is your one.
Sure. Sure, but I think in year two of a rebuild, you need to start having expectations. Now, expectations doesn't mean making the playoffs, but there needs to be a level of expectations. The expectations can't be they're going to be a top five pick again. Context matters. Where they, you know, how things sure. end up going matters. But like, I think the way you watch Texans games needs to change significantly next year. Now, you talk about the idea of people wanting to move on from Caserio. I'm fully on board with you that's a bad idea. That's silly. You don't give a GM one full draft class. But you talk about the depth they need to have. And I agree with you. I think in the NFL, it does matter being good with depth. But they have the extra resources because of the Watson trade. You need to be adding depth in later rounds, right?
Like, sure.
You're not adding depth in the first 3 rounds of the draft. I think next year you should be expecting them to, and wins aren't a perfect measure. I'm not going to hold, you know, this as like a perfect example. But I think you need to be looking at a team who's capable, at least, of winning 6, 7 games, who can like flirt with the idea, and I do mean flirt with the idea, of a 500 season. Because at that point, you will have this year's full draft class with a year under their belt. They should be key contributors next year. And then you'll have rookies who maybe like you don't expect anything out of them out of the gate. But like I think it's fair to expect rookies to be contributors by the second half of next season.
I think it's fair to expect rookies to be contributors in the first half of their rookie year if you have high enough draft picks. Yeah, I mean, Derek, like, we criticized Derek Stingley, right, because he was the third overall pick, and they picked him before Sauce Gardner, and Sauce Gardner is, like, way better because he's used better by Saleh as opposed to Lovie Smith, who puts, you know, a governor on his corner because he uses him in zone, and then Stingley's hurt. So, like, we point fun of Stingley. Stingley's been a contributor whenever he was playing in football games. Same thing with Jalen Petrie. Now, Jalen Petrie's second half better than his first half, although he did get off to a hot start.
I guess then I ask, like, what's the level of patience you want? Like, what level of patience do Texans fans need to have?
I think it's more to the expectations that you talked about and how you change the perspective of how you view it. Now, the Caserio point, I kind of, like, was leading you a little bit to like, this is Caserio's first year of a rebuild because
and
he didn't have a true offseason. And I know that you're on
that
side.
I don't say straight up one season, but it's certainly not fair to call it two seasons.
I think it's fairer to call it one than two or one and a half.
I would agree with that.
But the reason that I tried to lead you down that path is because you want people to fire Caserio in what we're calling 1.5 years of a rebuild, which is outrageous, silly, and kind of like disingenuous to a rebuild. It's like this urgency. Oh, the Texans need to win 9 games. If the Texans
even
wanted
that's a high
to win,
bar.
Yeah, but like you could. Look, if Nick Caserio really wanted to next year, he could win 9 games. You know how you win 9 games? You trade all of the draft capital you have for these middling free agents or these middling veterans around the league that can help you win 9 games. But then you know what? You're going to win 9 games for 2 years, and then you're going to be lousy again with zero future investment. It's silly to have this 9-win approach for the Houston Texans.
Let
and that's kind of
–
go ahead.
Let me ask you this, then. Is Nick Caserio – like, this year, there's, like, basically no scenario where you would have come out of this year saying Nick Caserio could be fired, right? None.
No, I think that look, Nick Caserio's job is to build a roster. It is team building. This team right now, December 20th, 2022, is a better team than December 20th, 2021, even though they're probably going to win 3 fewer games than they did a year ago.
Honestly, Jeremy, even if they weren't, I still wouldn't be calling for him to be fired. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. And I think we're on the same side
of next
this.
Year, do you still feel that way? Do you enter next year with the thought, there is no scenario where I'm moving on from Nick Caserio?
I don't. Like, the path to get there, though, I think is different than most people's path. And I think you and I are probably aligned because you're not using the wins as the barometer.
I think it's part of the picture, but it's not everything.
Like, if the Texans won 3 games next year, but they were in every single game, and it wasn't this fugazi, they're in the game with the Chiefs and go to overtime even though they got outgained by 300 yards. Texans were in that game by perception alone. They weren't in that game. They were nowhere near the same level of the Chiefs. But if next year they're playing on that, like, nearly to that level, but they're just not winning close games because they have a rookie quarterback or something like that, like, that is something that I can accept. I don't care about the wins. I care about the team building. I care about the talent. I care about the context. I care about how it happens. But I feel like this city right now, and look, I understand the frustration of having an NFL team. NFL's great. We live in Texas. Football's king, although Houston's an Astro city. I understand the frustration. I get that. The point that I'm trying to make is don't let the frustration impair your patience with the rebuild. Do the rebuild right, like the Astros did, where they missed the playoffs for 9 years, where Jeff Luno was okay losing over 100 games in his first 2 years, like Caserio's doing right now on a smaller scale. They were okay hiring a Bo Porter, like a David Culley, like a Lovie Smith, because they knew the future was going to be great. Be patient with the rebuild. Do the rebuild right. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. We're also on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. We'll get to your reaction on this. A lot of great texts are coming in. Also, join us as we celebrate Christmas a little early with ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Season of Giving. Today we're giving away dinners for two to Damaris Barbecue. Caller number 6 to 713-780-3776 wins a dinner for two at either of the Damaris Barbecue locations. Stop in, try their mouth-watering brisket, pulled pork, burgers, and much, much more. Their Mexican food's outstanding. Tune in all December long for our Season of Giving, and don't forget to join us this Friday, December 23rd, for our annual Christmas party. Don't let the cold keep you from the party. We'll be broadcasting indoors from Nick's Place from 7 a. to 7 p. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Oh, we all know I like a good drink at the end of the day, and my day ends in about 10 minutes. So, Branham, going to do a little day drinking. Branham does some day drinking. It's always Gentle Ben. It's the vodka, it's the gin, it's the bourbon, all part of the rotation for me. Today feels like a vodka day. A local Texas brand, Gentle Ben Spirits, you should know them by now because they do all three of those, vodka, gin, bourbon, better than anybody. Why? Because they have this innovative Proseto craft technology that makes their stuff better in purity, makes it better in aroma, makes it better, and most importantly, taste than your favorite brand. Of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentle Ben is unrivaled. Try a sip of Gentle Ben like I did, and you're going to taste the huge difference ever since I've done it. I'm a Gentle Ben man. We know that. It's smooth. It's clean. It eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. You can find the vodka and gin at Total Wine and Specs, also online, gentleben.com. But the bourbon is now on the market. Double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards. You can find it at 10 different specs around Houston. You can find it at Longhorn Liquor in Mount Bellevue, SKO Liquor in Pearland. Get your hands on this bourbon, the double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards. Also, if you're headed to a Rockets game, stop by the Gentle Ben Bar on the main concourse inside this Toyota Center, section 125. Good way to try out some Gentle Ben. Sit back with good company and raise a glass of the very best Gentle Ben. I'm sitting back with some good company right now. We are missing Blankers, but Brendan's here. We're going to be here for the next 8 minutes before Texas A&M takes over our airwaves. Some fighting Texas Aggie basketball as Buzz Williams and the Aggies look for a victory against the Terriers of Wofford. But we were having the conversation of I'm annoyed by how the fan base of the Texans wants this rebuild to be over like that. Like, they can all of a sudden win 9 games next year. You know, I could find a path for the Texans to win 9 games next year. I'm trading a first-rounder for the best veterans I can find. I'm trading Cleveland's first-round pick for the best veterans I can find. I'm filling holes with my free agent money, and I'm going to win 9 games next year. I'm going to win 9 games the year after that, and then I'm going to be lousy again in 3 years.
Do you really think that's the only path to 9 wins, though? Because I don't think
next
that's
year?
Fair. Yes,
next year?
Yes, next year.
Yeah, I do. I thought that you're where you said like you're hopeful the team can win like 6 or 7 games next year, I think that is a reasonable path. I think 9 wins is too far of a stretch.
But see, what I would say is I think in the NFL, I think most teams are pretty capable of winning or losing about 3 to 4 games more than they should, right?
Yeah, I think it's fine.
And I think next year they should be able to win 5 or 6 games. Now, don't get me wrong. I think it requires an easy schedule. Maybe it requires a good break or two. But I could see a ceiling of 9 wins if you do really well in the draft. I asking for that, totally unfair. I just don't think it's fair to say the only way you can get there is by like going all in.
Would you agree it's the easiest way to 9 wins next year?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. And you certainly shouldn't take that route.
And I think 9 wins is maybe you trying to audition for the producer job for the Wheelhouse, but just saying.
Well, I look at my own team, and I don't think it's a perfect example. But I thought the Lions were capable, honestly, of winning 5 or 6 games this year. They're going to win more than that, Jeremy. Like, I don't think like I was crazy. The Vegas over-under was 6.5. Like, I just think I would never pick them to win 9 games next year. But they're going to have 2 first-round draft picks. What happens if one of those first-round draft picks is an immediate like impact player and the other one's just solid?
Yeah,
and
then you add like some Will Levis or something like
is
that.
Is it conceivable the Texans could be the 20th best team in the league next year?
Sure.
Because I think that's a team that is capable.
How many 20th best team? How many wins does 20th best team get?
Well, as we've talked about, it's not a perfect 1-to-1. You don't, you know, the best team doesn't win the most games and the worst team win the least games. Like, mm-hmm. I think the 20th best team in a season that falls the right way can get to about 500. I think that's possible.
I think they could be in contention of 500, like very, very best case scenario. They hit on a coach, they hit on all their draft picks, they hit on all their free agents. But I don't think that they get to 9. I think they might enter the final month like, you know, 6 and 7, like something like that.
I think the goal you should have in mind would be like 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's fair. I think it's reasonable. I think it's logical.
I think we agree on like the midway point. I think where we most disagree is the high end.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. I think 9's very much on the high end. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out there now for Gary. Gary, you're in the hive of the Killer Bees. What's going on today, Gary?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, just want to say I'm pretty openly anti-Casario. I just want to say it's not necessarily about wins and losses. I mean, anybody knows that we're not very good, and so the wins and losses are kind of relative, even though we do look worse as a unit than last year, but let me just say, I would say we need to get rid of him because I don't think he knows what he's doing. This is why. Like, number one, he just does weird stuff. There's two coaching hires. You hire two coaches who nobody ever heard of Cully, and you hire Lovie Smith, who nobody interviewed either one of these guys. You traded a draft pick for somebody who you cut not too long afterwards, which is ridiculous. You traded up for Nico Collins in the draft where you didn't have a first or second round pick. Nico Collins isn't worth the trade up. You picked Stingley over Sauce, which, hey, the book has not been written, but it does not look good so far. You pick an inside O-lineman at 15, which also doesn't look good. You extended Brandon Cooks, which looks terrible. You also didn't trade Brandon Cooks last year, which, I mean, I could go on. I'm not going to take all the time in the world, but big picture, wins and losses are relative. I personally don't think he knows what he's doing. I think it's been demonstrated, and I think that's why the team is taking a step back this year from where it was last year when we all thought that was rock bottom, and then we've established a new rock bottom this year. I just wouldn't trust him to see what he can do in year three. That's my personal opinion.
Appreciate the call, Gary. Thanks for listening to the Killer Bees. And Gary always brings logic, I think, to our show. And those are all things I've said about Nick Caserio as well, Gary. Like, those are all very, very fair points. And some people give Caserio some leeway with his coaching hires. I give him leeway with the Lovie hire. I don't think that there's any way he was going to hire Lovie Smith. There were six finalists. Lovie Smith was nowhere there. Lovie Smith never interviewed for the job. All of a sudden, Lovie Smith is the head coach of the Houston Texans. I don't think that that was, I think it's easy to tell that was not a Nick Caserio decision. And I can also use the Derek Stingley Jr. pick as evidence that he does not want Lovie Smith as his head coach, because those two philosophies are not aligned. Lovie Smith thinks that a cornerback in his defense is the fifth most important position in his defense. If Lovie Smith thinks that the cornerback is the fifth most important position in his defense, the general manager, if they're aligned, isn't going to draft a cornerback at number three. So I think there's obvious philosophical differences between Caserio and Lovie that shows that Caserio never wanted to hire Lovie Smith, and I don't think he's long for the job. The David Culley aspect, like, some people want to say Easter, but whatever. Like, I'll put that on Caserio, but the reason that I'll give benefit of the doubt to Caserio on the David Culley hire is he was supposed to be the bridge coach. He was supposed to be the rah-rah cheerleader, keep everybody happy in what is going to be a 4-13 season right on top of a 2-15 season. Like, he was supposed to be the positive energy. He wasn't looking for a ball coach. He was looking for somebody who would keep everybody, you know, afloat, keep morale afloat while they're going through this very difficult rebuild. The trades, the moves that Caserio's made, I think all of those things are very fair points, and I think that they're, like, we should be looking critically at Nick Caserio for that. But who was the guy who hired Nick Caserio? It was Cal McNair. And if you're going to commit because you think Nick Caserio is the guy to lead the franchise back, you probably need to see it through. Because if he fires Nick Caserio, who's the dude hiring? Who's the dude hiring? It's Cal McNair, who just failed with Nick Caserio. So I believe if you hire a guy to do a job and you give him X amount of years to get his job done, you got to go after. You got to give him the chance to get the job done. So, like, I'm not that high on Nick Caserio either. But I don't think you should fire Nick Caserio 1.5 years into what is a 6-year contract and a rebuild. All right, we got to get out of here. Fighting Texas Aggie basketball is next. They're taking on the Terriers of Wofford. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Aggie basketball next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.